All right, so I know I promised to explain what happened with the plumber, and I will. I will get to that. But first, I need to let off some steam about a more recent incident, because... Well, it ended up with me burying my roommate in the empty lot behind my local Denny's. Okay, I know that sounds bad, but listen, when you're living with a haunted doll named Shitwaffle as a roommate, there are bound to be rough patches in the relationship. Our issue started in the first few hours of the new year. See, I'd been out at a party all night, and a friend of mine drove me home because I was pretty drunk. I waved goodbye as I struggled with the keys, not wanting them to see me fail at opening a door for 10 minutes. It actually took closer to 15 minutes for the lock to finally click, and in my defense, my fingers were all but frozen in the chilly, not quite morning air. I could have definitely gotten it in like 8 minutes if it hadn't been so cold out. But the door swung open, and I stumbled into the dark living room, reaching for the flashlight app on my phone because I didn't want to grope the walls trying to find the light switch. And suddenly, the lamp in the far corner turned on, illuminating a figure posed on the couch. My heart leapt into my throat before I realized, oh yeah, I have a roommate. Hey, buddy, I greeted the doll, who had managed to position itself in the most disapproving way possible. There was an uncanny resemblance to a parent who had just caught their child sneaking in after curfew. You judging me? I snorted. You can't judge me, you're a little doll. You're a cute little doll, my doll roommate, I giggled at the absurdity of it all. Shitwaffle was holding something. What you got there? I began to ask. And then I realized exactly what the possessed doll had in its little hands. I froze in place, not daring to move.
Well, what are you doing, bud?
I nervously laughed, a droplet of sweat trickling down my neck. Precariously held above my couch was an open bottle of maple syrup.
Hey, now, be careful with that. That stuff could take forever to clean out of the couch if it spilled.
My voice grew slightly hysterical with fear. I could go through this again. I couldn't go through this again. Not after the plumbing incident and all the rigorous cleaning involved. Shitwaffle threw me a challenging look with its beady little eyes and tilted the bottle slightly so that a single bead of dark orange liquid formed on the rim of the container.
You monster, I whispered hoarsely. I should have known you were evil. I should have...
The bottle tipped further, causing sticky droplets to slowly hit the fabric one after the other. I staggered forward slightly, letting out a pained noise.
No, please, please, don't work! Stop! I'm begging you, stop! I will do anything! Just do not get any more of that shit on the couch!
The doll paused, considering my desperate face. For a moment, I hoped that I had gotten through to it. Then the silence was suddenly shattered by the sound of obnoxious quacking coming from my phone. I cursed the ringtone and answered the call, not breaking eye contact with Shitwaffle. It was my friend Peter, still sounding slightly drunk and wanting to know if I was still at the party.
No, I'm at home, I replied slowly, still staring at the bottle of maple syrup.
Peter must have heard the barely restrained fear in my voice because he suddenly sounded a lot more sober.
Hey, are you all right?
He asked, concerned. There's a situation I'm trying to deal with. Can I call you back a little bit later?
Oh, fuck, is that the doll? Told you to get rid of that creepy thing.
Upon hearing that, Shitwaffle's little face twisted into a mask of rage, and I knew that my couch was fucked. I dropped the phone and dove towards the doll anyway, hoping to minimize the damage done, and unfortunately my skill at catching baseballs was not enough to prevent the syrup from spilling over half of the cushions. Something inside me broke. I let out a wordless screech of anguish. The maple syrup was already sinking deep into the old couch that I had owned for years. The same couch that I made pillow forts with as a child. The couch that had been there for me throughout every house move. The couch that I had already taken for granted. I didn't think that Shitwaffle was expecting me to lunge at it with such ferocity. In fact, I'm pretty sure the element of surprise was the only reason I managed to get the better of the supernatural being and stuff it into the cardboard box that I'd been meaning to throw out but never actually got around to. It could have been considered an impressive defeat of such a powerful creature if I wasn't a full-grown adult against a doll with tiny porcelain hands. Also, I was sobbing tears of outrage, which probably made the scene look even more ridiculous. I can't imagine what the people at the Denny's must have thought as they watched me march up to the empty lot next to the diner at 4 a.m. and begin to dig into the frozen earth. Every so often I had to pause shoveling dirt to drag back the cardboard box, which was trying to inch away. I caught a lot of customers staring at me through the window, pancakes dropping off half-raised forks as they followed my progress with confusion. I hadn't counted on there being so many witnesses, I mean.
And how many people would be at a Denny's in the early morning of New Year's Day? The answer is a lot, actually. Enough people that it was actually really sad. Of course, I was burying a cursed doll in the early morning of New Year's Day, so it's not like I can judge. When I finally returned home, my muscles were burning from the intense effort of digging, and my head was aching from a developing hangover combined with a complete lack of sleep. Shitwaffle was waiting in front of the house, covered in dirt and looking very grumpy. Fuck, I sighed, walking up to the doll and unlocking the door. Too tired to deal with this. Whatever. Come on inside, you'll shit. Shitwaffle smugly levitated into the air and sped into the depths of the house. Somehow we just returned to our regular, relatively peaceful dynamic after that. I guess screaming at and burying my roommate alive was pretty cathartic for me. As for Shitwaffle, well, after it got over being annoyed with me, it seemed to think the whole incident was funny. We actually get along better now. It's like we finally accepted each other as roommates. The two of us even found a song that both of us enjoy, a Biggie Smalls featuring Thomas the Train Engine, which is a hilarious mashup of Biggie rapping over the Thomas the Train Engine theme song. It doesn't mean that I've completely forgiven Shitwaffle for the whole plumber debacle, though. Oh, I'll try to summarize. So basically, I had to follow the freaked-out plumber and calm him down enough for him to actually explain what was upsetting him so much. Now, this is what Michael the plumber told me. He had determined that the problem was likely something clogging the toilet. Either earlier when he entered the house, he heard a giggle and had seen a doll, and so assumed that a child lived here and must have tried to flush a toy down the drain. Well, apparently, this happens a lot because kids like to watch their toys drown in the flood of water. Kids scare me. Anyway, Michael couldn't actually see the object, so he snaked an auger down into the toilet hole, and it snagged something. Relieved that the job had been so easy, and a little annoyed that he called out something so minor, the plumber pulled out what he assumed to be the source of the problem. And then, he stared. At first glance, it seemed to be a grayish, slimy blob, gross, but not that unusual, except the viscous material seemed to be twitching with a life of its own, pulsing with its own delicate nervous system. In a closer glance, Michael could see tiny veins in the semi-opaque glump. Michael was rightfully unnerved by the strange thing. He'd never seen anything like that in his entire life, not even in those science magazines with photos of weird creatures from the deep. He took a deep breath. He told himself that he was overreacting, but just because he didn't recognize it didn't mean that it wasn't a perfectly natural thing. He told himself to just get the job done, stop thinking about it. The toilet still wouldn't flush, though, so again, the auger went in. He could definitely feel something down there. It took some time and more effort, but the plumber finally pulled up another large blob. This one was more substantial. Still a gross chunk, like every color of Jell-O mashed together into a gray amalgam, but firmer. What was more upsetting was the tiny beating organ inside it. It connected to fine threads that stuck out of the goop as if torn away from a larger mass. Is this some kind of creature? Some kind of living meat? Michael's heart sped up, and for the first time he wondered if the house owner might have been involved, trying to get rid of some horrific genetic experiment. Then the man shook his head. No, that was ridiculous. He'd watched one too many episodes of Star Trek with his daughter last night, and that was it. So Michael, despite his fear, continued to clear the toilet of the mysterious clog. Oddly, as the pile of gray organisms removed became larger and larger, the plumber began to imagine that the outlet of the toilet released into a much wider space than it should have. More and more of the blobs had bones inside of them, and again Michael wondered about the origin. Images of serial killers flushed down still pulsing human body parts, which would then rot into a disgusting gray mush in the water, but never die. Michael had a very active imagination. The scared plumber shone his flashlight down the drain. A yellow eyeball on a thin, gooey eye stalk stared out from the darkness. Michael stared back, and then came the horrible noise, a rushing, growing sound that grew in intensity that caused him to flee for his life. I'm pretty sure that last sound was just the toilet flushing, but I wasn't about to say that to the poor guy. After I convinced him I wasn't a serial killer or a mad scientist, and that I had no idea what the hell that gray shit was, he calmed down a lot. We discussed it rationally, and decided that the best thing we could do would be to go back inside and take another look. We stepped inside the bathroom and gasped. The tile walls were covered in gray slime, except for the clear path of the words traced into the goo in Shitwaffle's now familiar handwriting. The portal has been closed.
Well, you were right, I told Michael. That is really gross.
Michael stammered, unable to speak, and I took pity on him. Well, it seems like everything's been fixed, I said, stepping over to the toilet and watching it flush perfectly. So, what do I owe you?
I don't think Michael will ever work on my plumbing again.
Oh, well. Guess I'll have to find the new non-traumatized plumber. In Shitwaffle's defense, I don't think the toilet portal was a scare tactic. I mean, maybe it was something that, you know, one of its demon friends left behind. Or maybe, haunted dolls have some really weird hygiene issues. Anyway, that's what happened over the past week or so. I'll update again soon. Also, in the meantime, I'd really appreciate any advice on how to clean maple syrup off of a couch and, you know, what to do with a bucket of gray flesh organisms.
Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and thank you for watching tonight's video. I want to talk to you about one quick thing before we get into the real outro here. And that's going to be the Australian fires that are currently taking place. I'm pretty sure everybody has seen on their social media or on the news or what have you about what's taking place in Australia right now. The fires are raging out of control. There's something like 1.5 million acres that are currently on fire. It's pushing animals towards extinction, forcing people out of their homes. Many of them YouTubers and other creepypasta narrators that you probably listen to here. But one thing that actually kind of gets to me is that there's a lot of awareness about what's taking place down there. There's a lot of photos and videos I'm pretty sure that you've all seen, but nobody's really talking about where you can go to be able to donate, to be able to help either firefighters or relief funds or anything like that. And that's what I want to try to bring to you guys, or at least have you guys try to share around, even if you're not able to donate. If you look in the description down below, there's four different links there that I'm going to have on the videos for the next couple of weeks. And hopefully we can, and we, I mean, all of you can be able to share this around, and all of us together can be able to actually get some more eyes on where we can be able to go to help. I mean, yeah, we're a group of people that likes horror stories, horror movies, horror what have you, but I think one thing we can do that's at least powerful for us is we have the ability to minimize the amount of horror in real life. So thank you guys so much for watching or listening. If you're listening to this on the podcast, available on Spotify and on Apple and on SoundCloud and on Google or wherever you get your podcasts from, or if you're listening on the podcast, then thank you for watching on YouTube and subscribing to Mr. Creepypasta. And a very big thank you to my patrons from patreon.com/Mr. Creepypasta, such as Dr. Strawberry, Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Chumpinski, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Stephanie Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, G Weevil 3, Diane Krause, Asia, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, Nico Kyle, Caleb Dugal, Daniel Polson, Dante Rao, The Last Blade Song, The Ginger Bros, Don Mewmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Sky Harbor, Finley, Steampunk Center, Rafael Rodriguez, and Optimistic Avocado. You guys are the MVPs, and everybody down there in the description, a big thank you to you guys as well. Sweet dreams, everybody.